bright white light shines out from the center of a black screen. The screen lightens to reveal looming clouds in a blue sky. The light gleams from a torch held aloft by a statuesque woman wearing Grecian-style robes. She stands on a raised plinth before the cloudy sky. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. On a blurred deep blue screen, two circles of steel rotate, a dazzling light reflected off the shining metal. They're held in place by a crescent of steel. Revolution Studios. The screen fades to black. An expanse of grey, gently rippling water. In white, the titles appear as though they're gliding gently earthwards. Revolution Studios presents a Jinx Cohen Company production, a Joseph Rubin film. The water gives way to land. Swathes of concrete surround a sparse area of green. Viewed from above, cars are dwarfed by the towering skyscrapers which cast their shadows over the city. Julianne Moore. The Forgotten. Dominic West, Gary Sinise, Alfra Woodard, Linus Roach, Robert Wisdom, Jessica Hecht, and Anthony Edwards. Bright sunlight creates dazzling white patches on the jumble of buildings. Casting Marjorie Simkin, costume designer Cindy Evans, music composed by James Horner, film editor Richard Francis Bruce, ACE. The Brooklyn Bridge stretches across the East River, linking Brooklyn with Manhattan. On the Brooklyn side, near the water's edge, a stretch of faded grass. A group of children scamper around. Production designer Bill Groom, director of photography Anastas Michos, executive producers Steve Nicolades, Todd Garner, produced by Bruce Cohen, Dan Jinks, produced by Joe Roth. Nearby, in a secluded clearing scattered with autumn leaves, a set of swings. A beautiful woman wearing a black coat and trousers sits on the center swing, gently swaying back and forth. Blown slightly in the breeze, her long red hair frames her pale, fine-featured face. A tastefully decorated room. The sunlight casts shadows on the white walls. Beyond the room, an open door leads into a bedroom. The woman from the park, her overcoat gone, approaches a wooden dresser. On top of the dresser are two framed photos of a little boy.
Sam.
The woman picks up one of the photos of the gorgeous blonde-haired boy and studies it. With a pained expression, she puts the photo down and opens the top drawer of the dresser, taking out a baseball glove. There's a plain band on her wedding finger.
How much time did you spend at the dresser compared to last week?
Less.
How much less?
I don't know exactly.
She watches Sam on video.
You want to make a guess, roughly, for the week?
Oh, not even an hour a day.
And how long has it been now, since your loss?
You're hoping I guess again, aren't you?
How long?
14 months, 6 days. I can tell you what time it was, down to the hour and minute, if you want. I can't help
it. It's all right. It's just a memory doing its job.
Written by Gerald DePago, directed by Joseph Rubin. Telly, the woman, looks at newspaper cuttings. A headline reads, 11 die in air tragedy. Another, Sam Peretta, 9, dies in plane crash. Tears stain Telly's face. Now wearing a coat and blue jeans, she trots down a staircase into an open-plan living area. She finds the phone and answers it.
Hello?
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just running out the door. I'm late for my appointment with Mons.
Listen, I was thinking maybe we could go out to dinner tonight.
I don't know. I think I'd rather stay home. I'm sorry.
All right, well, that's fine.
I'll cook something fancy.
No. It's too much for you.
No, I want to.
Her husband's on his mobile.
Tim, I want to, okay?
Telly stares at a picture of herself, Sam, and Jim. She leaves the house.
Hey, Elliot.
Oh, I missed you, sweetie. Where have you been?
I know. I have a call.
Oh, stop. Don't be silly. I didn't mean it like that. We just haven't hung out in a while. Give me a call. We'll do something.
I'd love to.
Bye.
As Elliot heads up the path to her house, Telly strides across the road, delving in her handbag as she goes. She hesitates, looking confused, and glances up and down the street.
You need some help?
I parked my car here, right here last night.
What kind of car is it?
Red Volvo.
The clean-shaven man in his late 30s points across the street. Telly looks round, seeing her red Volvo.
Thanks.
I forget all the time.
Telly's with Dr. Munce.
Jim says I have a death grip on the past.
They sit opposite each other.
How are you getting along? Do you fight it all this week?
Jim doesn't fight, he negotiates.
The young, fresh-faced Munce makes notes.
Are you comfortable physically? How's the sex?
Telly raises her eyebrows.
How would you feel if I asked you that question? How's the sex with Mrs. Munce? Would you answer?
Yes, but I'd have to charge you more.
Telly smiles. Dr. Munce smiles gently back at her, studying her thoughtfully. Telly starts to look around, seeming a little agitated.
What's wrong?
I had my coffee.
No, not today.
No, I just had some.
I offered, but you said no this time. Last time you had a cup.
Telly stares at him.
Memory slips.
I didn't forget. I can still taste the coffee.
Picking up his cup.
You smell my coffee, and you manufacture a memory, a taste. That's all. You do hang on hard.
Telly looks pensive.
Sometimes the mind needs help in letting a thing go.
You expect me to let go of my son?
The bespectacled Dr. Munce lowers his gaze.
Do you think you amplify some of these memories of Sam? Add to them?
She shakes her head.
No. Why would I?
Dr. Munce looks steadily at her. Night. Telly stands in her kitchen, stirring something in a pan. Jim arrives carrying a bottle of champagne.
Hey, what's the occasion?
You, going back to work. I think it's great.
Nah, it's just a freelance edit job. Not even sure I want to do it.
I think you should do it. It could be great for you. What's the book?
Psychotic Women and the Men Who Love Them.
Jim's smile fades and he turns to look at her.
No, I'm kidding. It's a children's book.
Sorry.
Sorry. Hey, let me get the nice glasses your mother gave us, okay?
Speaking of psychotics.
Yeah.
Telly wanders out of the kitchen.
What kind of a kid's book is it?
Her gaze falls on the photo she was studying earlier of herself, Jim, and Sam. Only now Sam is missing from the otherwise unchanged image. Her eyes glistening, Telly picks up the picture and marches back into the kitchen. She looks accusingly at Jim.
What have you done, Jim?
What?
What have you done?
Telly.
Why'd you change the picture?
I didn't change anything.
Do you think this helps me, taking him away?
You have to calm down,
Yeah, I want
Telly.
The picture of the three of us. What'd you think, that I wouldn't notice? I wouldn't care?
She throws the picture onto the floor and the glass smashes to pieces. Jim looks down wearily as Telly strides away. Out in the darkness, Telly enters the park, strolling along a wide tarmacked path past benches and trees. Her coat is buttoned up and her hands are tucked in her pockets. She slows, seeing a man on the swings, swigging from a bottle. Her brow lightly furrowed, Telly walks towards the man who's in his late 30s, unshaven with dark hair. Telly stops a short distance in front of him. He looks up at her.
I come here hoping to meet other swingers. You're the first one.
We know each other. I'm Telly. Remember? Telly Peretta, Sam's mom?
The man just stares at her.
We're all tired of condolences, but I miss Lauren, too.
The man shifts a little, glancing down, then gets to his feet.
Well, I'm,
He wipes his nose.
I'm done for the night, so I gotta go.
You don't remember me?
Sure. You want my swing?
No.
She studies him.
Do you want to come home with me? Just live over there.
Good night, Ash.
You do know me.
He smiles wryly.
Well, that's why you won't come home with me.
Smiling to himself, Ash stumbles away. With a troubled expression, Telly watches him go, then sits on the middle of the three swings. Ash glances back at her as she glides gently back and forth. The dried leaves carpeting the ground are tossed about by the wind. They dance across the grass. Back at home, Telly turns off the bathroom light and wanders into the darkened bedroom. She removes her robe and climbs into bed with Jim. He lies on his side, his back to her, his eyes closed.
Jim.
Telly curls up close and kisses his shoulder.
Please don't ask me to let go. Jim.
As she pulls away, kissing his shoulder again, Jim opens his eyes. He stares into the darkness, his expression bleak. Telly now lies on her side, her ashen white face starkly contrasted against her black pillow.
Mom, look!
A bright white light, a hazy sepia-like image of Sam with a rucksack on his back, running along a corridor. Telly jogs along behind him.
Hurry up, Mom!
There's a broad smile on her face. Sam stares excitedly out of a window. Telly joins him.
There's your plane.
I know.
In bed, Telly still lies on her side with her eyes wide open. Sighing, she rolls frustratedly onto her back and gazes up through a large triangular skylight in the ceiling above. A new day. Telly sits working at a laptop at one end of the large wooden dining table in the spacious open-plan living area of the Peretta's home. Distracted, she looks away from the screen, focusing her gaze on a small black tin. She tucks her hair behind an ear, then moves the box closer and opens the lid. She takes out a series of four photo booth pictures of herself and Sam. She runs her hand delicately down the length of the strip, then touches the tip of it to her mouth. On her feet, Telly opens a dresser drawer and takes out a small box. She opens the box and finds a key. She returns the box to the drawer and, taking the key with her, approaches the closed door of Sam's bedroom and unlocks it. She strides straight over to the dresser. The pictures of Sam have gone from the top of it.
Sam.
Telly opens the top drawer and tenderly takes out the baseball glove and a blue baseball cap with an intertwined orange N and Y. Telly removes something else from the drawer as she looks ceilingwards and exhales sadly. She closes her eyes, steeling herself, then looks down and opens the photo album in front of her. She starts to leaf through the black pages, finding each of them blank. She turns each page more and more quickly. Frowning, Telly grabs a scrapbook from the drawer and starts to frantically look through it. Every page is empty. With a sense of urgency, Telly flicks back through the blank pages. In the living room, she's on the phone.
Jim Peretta, please? I'll take the voicemail.
The cordless phone pressed to her ear, she paces up and down.
I can't believe what you did with the book and I was so good with the photos and the lock. You still... Do you want to make me hate you? Do you want to make me hate you?
Fighting back tears, Telly hangs up and looks desperately around her. Her mouth drops open. She charges up the stairs and into Sam's bedroom, racing straight over to the dresser. She searches the drawers until she finds two video cassettes, which she hurriedly carries from the room. Back downstairs, she slots one into the video recorder and tremblingly picks up the remote, pressing play.
Please.
The TV screen flickers and fuzzes. Distraught, Telly stares at it, desperately pressing buttons on the remote. She covers her mouth with her hand, then stops the tape and lunges forward, taking it out and putting in the second one. Clutching the remote, she shakily sits back down and presses play. The screen flickers with static. Telly sobs pitifully. She bites down on her lower lip, her face distorted with grief. Jim, wearing a Mac over his suit, sprints across the road outside their house and up to the front door. He lets himself in. Telly is slumped in a chair.
Telly?
She languidly lifts her head. Walking towards her, Jim stops and stares.
I can't.
She shakes her head.
Be with you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. Just get out.
Telly, wait.
The book I can lose, but...
Tearfully, she gets to her feet.
You erased our son. You erased my boy. You made it all blank.
Telly, stop. They were always blank.
What? What are you saying?
You're coming back. Dr. Muntz is coming.
Let me go.
This is good. Oh, God, Telly, this is real. The tapes were always blank.
Dr. Muntz is at the house with the Perettas.
Do you know what he's telling me?
Yes.
Is he psychotic?
No.
My child. My Sam.
Tilly. There was never a Sam Peretta. You never had a son.
This is insane.
I'm so sorry. I wanted to help you slowly, gently, but I never thought that you'd...
No, he erased the tapes. He replaced the book with an empty book. How can you believe him? Sam, he grew up. He was nine. Nine. I had 9 years of memories.
Invented memories, Tilly. It happens. People do this. It's called paramnesia.
No.
You imagined a life...
Everyone remembers Sam. Everyone.
Tilly, you had a miscarriage. Your life was in danger. The baby was premature. It was stillborn. You almost died.
Post-traumatic shock. It affects everyone differently. Sometimes some people actually invent entire alternate lives with imagined friends and lovers and children.
Stop it! Why are you doing this? Why are you both trying to take him away from me? I made him up! I made him up!
Jim and Dr. Muntz glance uneasily at each other.
This is so simple. There are photographs.
People with your condition, they can look at a photograph and see what their mind tells them to see. You used to see Sam.
No,
You're recovering.
Sam took that picture, and there was a woman, and we asked her to take a picture of the three of us, and that's the one that Jim took away. We have a million photographs. No, 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 he took the real book away!
Tilly.
She snatched the book from Muntz and thrown it down.
Tilly, I was hoping we could do this without hospitalizing you.
Her eyes brimming with tears and full of hurt, she looks from Dr. Muntz to Jim, who hangs his head. Telly's face almost crumples with despair as she fights her emotions.
All right, all right. There are photos that he didn't take. I'll show you. And we'll end this. We'll end this.
Telly turns and walks determinedly away. Jim glances at the doctor and gets to his feet. The two men follow Tilly past the freestanding staircase into the dining area where Tilly was working. She opens the lid of the black box and takes out the strip of photo booth pictures. Now with her in each photo, pulling faces, is Jim, not Sam. Tilly stares in stunned silence at the images. Dr. Muntz steps up behind her.
Tilly, let's just sit down.
Jim watches anxiously as Dr. Muntz gently leads Tilly back across the room. Suddenly she breaks away, running for the door.
Tilly!
She races outside and across the street to her car. She climbs behind the wheel as Jim charges out after her.
Tilly, Tilly! Where are you going? Where are you... Tilly!
Jim runs along beside the Volvo estate as Tilly pulls away, screeching off down the street. She fights back tears, struggling to focus on the road ahead. Later, Tilly strides through a vast library past long brown wooden tables where people sit studying and up to a young woman behind a desk.
I need to see some newspapers. Daily papers from 14 months ago.
The librarian reaches for a form and clipboard.
You need to fill this out.
Tilly brushes her hair behind her ear, then takes her handbag off her shoulder and unzips it. She starts to rifle through it, her brow furrowed. Becoming more frenetic in her search, she starts to cry. The librarian looks at her with concern and reaches out a hand, laying it on Telly's arm. Telly looks up tearfully.
What papers do you need?
The librarian stands behind Telly as she searches through microfiche of newspapers.
How could it not be in any of these?
You sure the date?
Telly stares at the screen.
What are you trying to find?
Six Brooklyn children fear dead in missing plane.
She scrolls through more articles.
How could it not? I have to go. I have to go.
Tilly gets to her feet and hurries away. Later she drives her Volvo estate through driving rain. Water sprays up under the tires. Tilly stares blankly ahead as the wipers glide back and forth across the windscreen. Night. The rain stopped. Elliot approaches her front gate and pushes it open.
Elliot.
Price. Tilly. What are you doing in the dark? What's wrong?
I had a fight with Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come inside.
We fought about Sam.
I'm sorry about what?
Tilly stares at her.
Sam. Sam. Who's Sam, sweetie?
Elliot, he's my son.
Your son?
El, please. You knew my son. You babysat him 1,000 times.
Oh, honey, I don't know what you're trying to say.
I'm saying that you knew my son. You talked to him. You saw us come and go. You took him to a Mets game and you bought him a hat. He always wore that hat.
Tally, please, you're scaring me. Tell me what's wrong.
Tally?
She looks up, seeing Jim walking along the street. Crying, she starts to run.
Tally!
Jim's path is blocked by a passing car. Telly races away round a corner. Having slowed to a walk, she crosses a deserted street, her arms folded across her chest against the cold. In the distance, an illuminated section of the Brooklyn Bridge reaches towards the sky. Telly approaches an intercom panel. She presses the buzzer, glancing upwards.
Who the hell is it?
It's Telly Peretta. Ash, please.
Are you gonna go away?
No.
Inside, Ash opens the door of his apartment to Telly.
Remember me?
Yeah.
She edges inside.
Who am I?
He closes the door and eyes her up and down.
You're worse shape than I am.
Her arms still folded, Telly looks around her curiously, then makes her way across the large, open-plan apartment. Ash watches her, a frown on his sallow, ruggedly handsome face. Telly steps into a side room and puts on the light. It's an office. She glances around, then turns off the light and wanders back out to Ash.
What the hell are you doing?
I was here once before, with my son. Do you remember?
You an old fan, is that it?
Yeah, that's right. You were a hockey player, ex-Ranger. Lauren was very proud of that.
Well, tell Lauren I appreciate it.
I don't follow hockey. My son Sam was a baseball fan.
Oh, baseball.
Ash wipes his mouth.
It's a great game. The only sport you can play while taking a nap.
He grabs a bottle.
You drinking?
No, I just wanted to talk to you.
About what?
Your daughter.
I don't have a daughter.
Telly studies him.
Do you get drunk every night?
He swigs back some scotch from a glass.
No, sometimes I'm drunk by noon.
He half smiles.
What do you want?
I had a son. My son Sam and your daughter Lauren were friends, and I'd come here sometimes to drop Sam off or pick Lauren up for the movies.
Can we talk about this after?
After what?
After I sleep.
In a darkened bedroom, Telly helps him onto the bed, then moves over to the sink.
Somebody else has a daughter, you know.
Telly runs a tap.
Somebody else knows your son.
She glances over at him, then back at the sink.
It's not me.
Carrying a damp, folded flannel, she wanders back over to the bed. Her face white in the half-light, she presses it against Ash's brow.
Oh, that's nice.
He puts a hand on Telly's and lets it rest there for a moment before lifting hers away. Telly stares sorrowfully down at him, gently holds his hand, then lays it on his chest. She regards him thoughtfully for a while, then goes. She turns on the light in the office and wanders across to one of the walls where a framed hockey jersey adorned with the number 63 and the name Carell is hung, along with several photos of Ash in action. Telly looks closely at the images. In one, she sees a smiling Ash in full kit, Rangers emblazoned across his top, a hockey stick in his hand. With a quizzical expression, Telly steps towards her right. She notices a tear in the wallpaper and moves towards it. Hunching over, she rubs her thumb over the tear and starts to pull at the tough-looking paper. Underneath, there's a patch of blue. Telly goes into the kitchen and opens a drawer. She grabs a knife and goes back into the office. Biting her bottom lip in concentration, she starts to cut away at the paper, both hands wrapped around the handle of the knife. Her body jerks back and forth as she slices through the paper at the corner of the wall. Her eyes glisten as they track her hands up the wall. The paper starts to peel away. Telly tugs at it, ripping a section of it down. Part of a mural is exposed. Telly rips away more of the paper. The pictures hanging on it fall to the ground. Behind the paper, fish decorate the sea blue wall. Telly gazes in wonderment at it. A new day. The sun shines brightly over Brooklyn. The curving highways are alive with traffic. Telly paces in Ash's kitchen, beating eggs. Ash ambles in, looking a little dazed. Telly continues to whisk the eggs, putting them down near the stove. Ash looks around the apartment with a frown, then turns his sullen gaze on Telly.
Did we get married?
She shoots him a look.
It's not me. It's you and it's Jim. I don't know who else or what else. I don't know anything. I don't know why it's not in the papers. I don't know anything, but it's not me. I'm not insane. Go look in your office. It used to be your daughter's room.
Telly leads the way into the office. All the paper has gone.
You let her draw on it. These are her drawings.
What the hell did you do?
She was showing Sam her room. I was there. Her bed was here, against the wall, like this, and her desk was here, with pictures from magazines collaged like that.
You're out of your mind.
This was her room. This was your daughter's room.
Somebody lived here before me. They papered over their kid's room.
No.
I'm calling the cops.
No, we were there at those awful funerals. Do you remember? You and me and your ex-wife.
Get out!
And my husband, and I remember that you seemed much more upset than your wife. She was kind of like my husband. She sort of held it all in, but you and I...
Listen. We have never met at a funeral. I do not know you. I don't know your son.
Lauren and Sam were friends. We put them on a plane together to go to camp, and we lost them. They died over a year ago. You weren't drinking then.
He steps back from her.
How do you know that?
I met you. You weren't like this. It was about 14 months ago you started drinking, wasn't it?
He meets her gaze, closing his mouth.
Wasn't it? That's when Lauren died.
I never had a kid.
You remembered her before this. Everybody remembered our children, and then something happened in the last weeks or days. I don't know, but our children have been forgotten.
Say
her name and I'll go! I say his name every day! Say it, so you can hear it. Lauren, say it.
She looks pleadingly at him.
Lauren.
Now look around again.
He sighs, looking unnerved, tears welling in his eyes.
She was here. She lived here.
Ash shifts slightly, looking away.
I need a minute.
Well, please tell me if
you... I need a minute.
He looks sternly at her. Telly retreats a little, keeping her watery gaze fixed on his. Ash stares back at her, then turns and walks away towards his bedroom. Telly closes her eyes, mouthing to herself as he goes. Telly sits alone in the high-ceilinged living room, a plaintive figure. She stands quickly as Ash wanders back in.
Do you want some coffee?
No, thanks.
She sits back down. Ash sits in a chair nearby and rests his elbows on his knees, staring down at the floor.
I know this is difficult.
She looks steadily at him.
How much do you remember?
He looks up at her with a troubled expression. He gets to his feet, his back to her.
I called the police. You need some help. I never had a kid. You gotta get some help. I'm real sorry.
He looks awkwardly at her, then saunters over towards the door. Telly remains seated, her face ashen. Handcuffed, Telly is ushered out of the apartment.
One second, okay?
The officer with his hand on Telly's arm stops. Ash looks at her and shrugs.
It's the best thing.
They say I dreamed it all. Do you think I dreamed it?
We have to go.
Ash nods almost imperceptibly. Telly looks lingeringly at him, then turns away as the two police officers escort her out. Ash goes back into his apartment and wearily closes the door behind him. He shuffles across the open-plan living area, his gaze fixed on the partly open door of his office. Meanwhile, Telly is led out into the street. As the two officers escort her along the sidewalk, two men walk towards them. The shorter of the two has dark hair, the taller is bald.
Hi. Carl Dayton, National Security Agency. Tully Peretta, we're taking custody.
Can I see some ID?
Okay, check with Captain Mills. He'll verify.
The tall, bald Carl shows his ID. Inside his apartment, Ash enters his office and stares in at the blue walls covered with childlike drawings. A flash of white light. A little girl with pigtails is kneeling down, drawing on the wall. She looks round.
Hi, Dad.
Ash gasps as though winded. He staggers backwards.
Sorry, Dad.
A different image. The girl gets up from her desk and turns down her music. Now she holds up two dresses.
Which one do you think I should wear, Daddy?
Ash's eyes are full of tears as he stares in love and wonderment across the room. He charges out into the street.
Wait!
Where is she? The feds have her.
The officer points back down the street. Ashar is off. In the back of a car, a grill separates Telly from the NSA officers.
Stop!
The car stops. Carl and his colleague, Alec Wong, get out.
Gotta let it go.
Mr. Grill, step back.
I don't understand. Telly, get off the...
Wong wrestles with Ash.
Get him! I remember!
Get him off!
I remember!
Ash is dragged away.
Get him off the damn car! Get off me! He's right!
Ash kicks in the driver's window. Terry tries to open her door, but it's locked. Ash reaches in through the smashed window.
Run!
Ash hits the central lock release button. Telly opens her door.
Run!
She flees. Ash is punched by Wong as Carl holds him.
Run, Terry!
Carl charges off after Telly, who's sprinting away along the sidewalk. Ash continues to battle with Wong, who has his head in an arm lock and is repeatedly punching him. The friendly stranger who pointed out Telly's car to her stands coolly in the street, watching as she races past. Ash wrestles Wong, who now holds a telescopic truncheon to the ground and makes a run for it. Telly ducks through the doors of a grocery store and thunders along an aisle. Carl is close behind her. Telly disappears through an exit at the back. Carl's in hot pursuit. He crashes into a man and stumbles forward. Telly, her arms pumping like a sprinter, races along a darkened corridor and out through the delivery bay. She leaps off the top of some steps, falling to her knees in the dirt. She looks fearfully behind her as she scrambles to her feet, then carries on running, darting down an alleyway. Carl reaches the steps and jumps off, landing with a jolt on his feet. Short of breath, he looks frantically around him. Telly pounds on, reaching the end of the alleyway, her chest rising and falling rapidly. She comes to a stop, leaning back against a wall. She swallows and lifts her eyes heavenwards. In the sky, a looming grey cloud seems to swirl ominously above her. Telly gazes at it and swallows hard, before easing herself away from the wall and running on. Jim's at the police station with two officers, a young swarthy man, Lieutenant Brasher, and a woman, Detective Anne Pope, who sits at her desk typing.
T-E-L-L...
Why, Telly?
Lieutenant Pope, they told me there was a complaint against her.
She trashed somebody's apartment and then she wouldn't leave.
Who? Whose apartment?
A Mr. Ashley Corral. Do you know him?
No.
Ex-New York Ranger, right wing, pretty good.
What does he have to do...
And she was claiming that her son was missing and dead.
We never had a son.
Why would she say that?
My wife is delusional. She needs help. Where is she?
She was turned over to federal agents, and she fled custody. Now, Mr. Beretta, why would the NSA be interested in your wife?
You're asking me. This is crazy.
They don't care about anybody's apartment, and they don't trace missing children.
There was never a child.
Traffic rumbles across the Brooklyn Bridge. Telly wanders alone across the suspended walkway at the side of the vast grey structure. Her hands tucked deep in the pockets of her jeans, she walks slowly, deep in thought, her pale, fine-boned face framed by her auburn hair. She comes to a stop and stares out through the high mesh wall to her left at a rooftop playground. The children race around, looked over by a teacher. Telly's hair is blown by the wind as she stares through sorrowful eyes at the everyday scene. Her gaze still fixed on the playground, she remembers saying goodbye to Sam at the airport.
Do what they say, all right?
Okay. I love you.
Nearby, Ash says goodbye to Lauren.
I'm gonna miss you so much.
They hit clenched fists together.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, fun.
Telly watches Sam go.
Sam!
Yeah?
See ya!
See ya!
Walking towards the small private plane, Sam looks back at his mother and winks. On the bridge, Telly continues to gaze at the playground, a strand of her hair fluttering across her lip. She finally turns and walks away. Night. Ash jogs through the park. He slows to a fast walk as he approaches the swings. He strides across the leaf-strewn ground and, looking around him, sits down on the central swing. Telly emerges from the trees. Ash looks round, hearing her footfalls and seeing her sighs with relief.
I was hoping you'd come here.
Me too.
He smiles gently at her. She takes a seat on the swing next to him. She glances over at him, her shoulders hunched against the cold. Ash looks away.
I don't understand it, I...
Telly looks round at him.
I keep thinking I'm crazy, you know? How could I forget her? My little girl. How? I can't do this.
You have to.
She looks steadily at him.
Because I can't do this alone.
He manages a half smile, tears welling in his eyes.
Come on, we shouldn't hang around here.
As though watched from above, the pair walk away from the swings, traversing the shadows which stretch across the grass.
First, I thought it had something to do with the plane crash. Do you remember when that TWA flight crashed over Long Island and everybody thought that it was a missile, a friendly fire, some kind of a government cover-up?
Yeah, I remember that.
But then I thought, you know, how could the government erase our memories? It's just not possible, so...
What?
Oh, please, don't think I'm out of my mind.
I don't anymore.
Do you ever feel like somebody, something's watching you?
Like surveillance?
No, I mean that sometimes people are taken. We hear that.
Telly glances away.
What are you talking about?
Abduction.
They stop. She turns to face him. Incredulous, he smiles.
Oh, wait a minute. You're freaking me out. I'm having a National Enquirer moment.
Now listen to me. What do we know? I had a son, you had a daughter, they had lives, they died, and everyone besides us believes they never existed. What could do something like that?
No, come on, there's gotta be another explanation.
Who could erase our kids? Every picture of them gone, every newspaper article gone, every memory gone. No agents, no government, who could do that?
He shakes his head.
I don't know.
Later, Ash drives them both along a deserted street in his silver BMW.
To find a hotel. You got any cash?
No, not much. I have some credit cards.
Forget it. Clerk runs your card and they got us. Don't you watch TV?
I read.
He shoots her a look and smiles.
Goddamn snob.
No. Goddamn editor. Why are you so pissed at me?
You okay?
Yeah.
The door won't open.
My door.
NSA, we need to talk to you!
Just stay by the car!
Stay by the car!
Telly clambers out on the driver's side and she and Ash make a run for it. They're pursued by Alec Wong, Frank's a female NSA officer, and Al Patalis, another colleague. They all charge down an alleyway, a high mesh wall on their right. Telly and Ash emerge into the open and race across a road. The trio of officers follow. Their path is blocked by a speeding ambulance. Telly and Ash hang a left. A car appears at the other end of the street. They stop in their tracks as it accelerates towards them.
This way!
Ash leads the way into a recycling factory. They sprint past bundles of shredded paper. In the street, the car doors open and more agents get out.
Where'd they go?
In here!
They join in the chase, powering into the factory after Telly and Ash. Ash and Telly race on without looking back. Telly trails behind a little as they leap out through a large entranceway and into the street. Running with Vitalis close behind him, Wong slips over. Outside,
in here.
They run past a wrecked car towards wasteland. Wong and Vitalis emerge from the factory. Telly and Ash flee through the long grassland, the illuminated Brooklyn Bridge towering beyond them.
Get down.
They duck down in the undergrowth. Wong and Vitalis converge with Franks and three other agents nearby.
Ah, damn it, we've lost them.
Huddled down together, Ash and Telly peer through the grass.
All right, search the field. We'll check out the streets.
Come on.
They separate.
I got left side.
Clutching torches, Wong and Vitalis search the wasteland as the others take to the streets. The two agents creep warily through the long grass. Ash and Telly cower low side by side, their faces full of trepidation, their breathing heavy. Wong's torch glints in the darkness as he points it into the shadows. Vitalis steps towards Telly and Ash, who watch him, eyes wide with fear. Ash exhales, trying to slow his breathing down. Vitalis pads closer, his torch held out in front of him. The beam of light picks out fine flecks of drizzly rain, which tumble higgledy-piggledy towards the ground. Vitalis creeps straight towards Telly and Ash.
Vitalis, come in.
Go for Vitalis.
What do you see? Nothing there?
Yeah, the field's clear.
Okay, hook up with us.
Okay, we're coming back to you. What's your 20?
Vitalis and Wong jog away. Telly gulps for air, letting her head drop to her hands on the ground. Ash puts a comforting arm around her. Later, the pair trot towards a downtown motel and head in through the main doors. At home, Dr. Muntz lies in his darkened bedroom asleep. He stares and reaches out a hand to the bedside table. He puts the cordless phone to his ear.
Hello?
Dr. Muntz, it's Telly.
Telly. Where are you? Are you all right?
No. I'm not hurt, but there are people after us.
What do you mean?
I found someone else. His daughter was on the same flight. He didn't remember her, but now he does. How do you explain that? How do you explain the people chasing us?
He gets out of bed.
Tell you, this is a panic attack. You just hold on, all right? Now tell me where you are. I'll leave right away. You need help.
No, I need you to start believing me.
Tears in her eyes, she hangs up. A troubled-looking Dr. Muntz stares at the phone and hangs up. He looks around him helplessly. At the motel in a twin-bedded room, Telly looks round as Ash comes in with some groceries and locks the door behind him.
Found an all-night place.
Clutching one large and one small bag, he sits opposite her.
Didn't have much.
He takes a load of junk food from the large grocery bag and puts it on the cabinet between the beds. Unsmiling, Telly eyes it.
You should eat something.
Just deciding whether I want too much salt or too much sugar.
Sugar.
Ash offers Telly a carton of cookies. She takes one with a half smile. Ash chews on one himself, and their eyes meet fleetingly. Ash looks over his shoulder and pulls a bottle of scotch from a brown paper bag. Telly looks disappointed.
Wish you wouldn't do that.
Don't worry about it.
Bottle in hand, Ash gets to his feet and swaggers away. Telly glances around wearily and puts her cookie down on the bedside table.
I think I'm just going to go to bed.
She turns out the light and, standing up, peels off her top, revealing a black vest underneath. Ash comes out of the bathroom and stands watching her as she unzips her jeans. She pauses, looking over at him, then lowers her gaze. Ash turns away and, moving to the window, pours some scotch into a plastic cup and takes a swig. In the shadows, Telly peels off her jeans.
You held out.
What?
You held out and I didn't. I forgot her. How'd you do that?
I don't know.
What's so important about us? Our kids.
He stares down at his drink, then looks round at her.
I mean, the kids are dead. Why try to erase our memories? It's not like we're gonna go look for them.
Lying in bed under the covers, Telly looks steadily at him. A new day. Traffic travels back and forth across Manhattan Bridge, nearby the flat-roofed, white-painted motel. Inside their room, Ash lies fully clothed on top of the covers of his bed. In the adjacent bed, Telly lies awake on her side, her pale face resting on the pillow.
Sam.
A bright white light. Telly remembers Sam walking towards the plane with his friends. He looks round at her and waves. Beyond a mesh fence, a grinning Telly waves back at him. Sam gives her another wink, then looks away. As he climbs the steps to board the plane, he looks back one more time, then disappears inside. Telly watches the plane take off. Her eyes glisten as she watches it soar through the blue, almost cloudless sky. In the motel room, Telly's eyes flicker. She sits up suddenly.
Ash? Ash, wake up.
She pulls on her jeans.
Come on. Come on, wake up. Wake up.
She hurries over to Ash.
Wake up, wake up. Come on. Wake up. Wake up.
She shakes him.
Wake up!
She slaps his rear end. He doesn't even stir. Telly moves across the room, picking up the almost empty bottle of scotch.
Ash?
She grabs an ice bucket.
Ash? Wake up.
She tips water on him.
Listen to me!
What the hell are you doing?
You were right!
You're doing a nut job!
Listen to me! You were right! You didn't know what you were saying, but you were right! If the children were dead, they would just leave it at that. If we all thought they were dead, why would they erase them, like you said? Why would they need to make us forget them? I think the children are alive. That's why I can still feel him. That's why I can't let go. The children are alive. Don't you feel that Lauren's alive out there?
I don't know, maybe.
He avoids her gaze and sits with his head bent. Telly looks unwaveringly at him until he reluctantly meets her gaze.
Yes.
Later they come out of a rental office into a car lot.
Jim usually leaves the office by 12:15.
We need to get Jim alone. What's he like?
They approach a car.
We had our problems. He loves Sam.
They reach the doors.
Make him say Sam's name. Like he made me say Lauren.
Come
Ash looks round. Across the street, a police officer gets out of a squad car. Ash and Telly get hurriedly into their rental car and pull away. The stranger who helped Telly locate her Volvo steps into their path.
Get out of the way!
Ash skids to a halt just inches from the man's legs. He doesn't flinch. Ash reverses at speed towards the entrance behind them just as another car's pulling in.
Behind you!
Ash brakes as the cars are almost bumper to bumper. Ash pulls forward. The stranger hasn't moved.
Get out of the way!
They hit the man who's thrown into a petrol pump.
Oh my God! Is he? Did we?
I don't know.
They speed off along the road.
I've seen him before.
Don't answer it!
Telly puts her mobile to her ear.
Hello?
Hello, is this Telly Peretta?
Who is this?
Telly, this is Detective Ann Pope.
We didn't mean to hurt anybody. There was a man in front of our car, and he wouldn't get out of the way.
What?
We're just trying to find our children.
Hang up.
Yes, I know.
You know?
I know about your case.
Hang up.
Is that Ashley Correll?
They took our kids.
They made us think they died in the plane crash, and they didn't.
Ann?
Yes?
Look, I know this doesn't make any sense, but my son, Sam Peretta, and Ash's daughter, Lauren Correll, they were on the same plane. Now, how could two people remember two different children if they never existed?
Ann looks thoughtful. She removes the receiver from her ear and chews on her lip, looking pensive. A view of the neighboring Brooklyn and Manhattan bridges spanning the East River. Ash drives the rental car over Manhattan Bridge towards the city's skyscrapers. A suited Jim makes his way across a busy plaza outside office buildings. Telly stands leaning against some railings, waiting for him. She jogs over, disturbing his reverie.
Jim.
Hi. I'm sorry, do I know you?
What's the matter? It's me.
I'm lost. Can you help me out here?
Oh, God, what do they do to you? It's me. It's Telly.
I'm sorry. We know each other.
Telly swallows hard.
I know your wife.
Oh, all right, got it. Not married. Wrong Jim.
James William Peretta.
Walking away, he turns back.
Who are you?
Nearby, her hair pulled back in a ponytail, Agent Franks watches Jim and Telly as they continue to talk.
Do you know a Sam Peretta?
No relation.
Maybe it would help if you said the name. Sam.
You lost me.
Jim smiles regretfully at her, then turns and walks away. Telly blinks back tears as she watches him go. From above, the people moving across the vast plaza look like bustling ants.
What about Jim?
Back with Ash, Telly glances at him and shakes her head. As they wander towards the street, a car drives past. It brakes suddenly and starts to reverse at speed.
It's them!
Telly and Ash charge across the road as the car reverses, scraping along the side of a taxi. Ash and Telly pound the streets. The car surges forward but is blocked by pedestrians. Ash and Telly clamber into the rental car and screech hurriedly away. In the NSA car, Wong, still blocked by pedestrians, honks his horn. In the rental car, Ash careers round a corner, then veers right between two buildings. A squad car zooms past in the opposite direction. Ash looks in his wing mirror.
We gotta get out of here. Out of the city, at least for tonight. I know someplace is far enough.
Telly stares blankly ahead.
Telly.
You didn't even know me. You forgot me.
They motor on through the city, passing the friendly stranger who they knocked down. He stares after them, his face strangely expressionless. Ann's at the car rental place.
Swear to God, they hit the guy, he crashes into the pump. Look at that. Then it gets right up. I didn't just see it, I heard it. Just bang, this guy bounces off the gas pump, gets right up.
There's no blood.
It's got him.
Brasher comes over.
Feds want to talk to you.
What?
Ann looks round.
Dr. Pope.
Okay, wait right here, all right?
She approaches Carl, who's with Patalis.
I'm Carl Dayton, NSA.
So you're here to rent a car?
Pardon?
What are you doing in my crime scene, Carl? I mean, what's so national security about this?
I'm not at liberty to say.
You guys need new material.
Look, we've been on this case. So any information that you get on Peretta or Corral?
He hands her a card.
Give me a call anytime, day or night.
You like this part, don't you? The part where you get to take away my case.
I'd rather be sailing.
I'm conducting an investigation here, and until I know differently, Peretta and Corral have been breaking only the laws of the city of New York. I'm the city of New York, and I'm on it.
She turns away.
Your involvement in this wouldn't have anything to do with the plane crash they claim killed her two children, would it?
Children?
Patalis shakes his head.
There are no children.
Oh. What? There was a plane crash?
No. We know nothing about a plane crash.
You don't know very much. National security, huh? Better buy better locks.
She saunters off. Carl nods to himself. Night in a forest, a cabin. Inside, Telly is putting covers on the pillows. Ash comes in with a brown paper grocery bag and a bottle of scotch. He closes and bolts the door, then ambles into the kitchenette, grabbing a metal cup from a hook, his back to Telly. She glances over at him.
Put your eyes back in your head, Warden.
Not looking at you.
I had a wife. I feel a woman's eyes judging me if I was in a coma.
He takes a swig of his drink.
Ash, please don't drink.
He scowls at her.
See, I told you you were watching me.
You know what? Wish I didn't have to.
Well, then don't. I'm sick of hearing it from
you. Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. You're feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, well, not all of us can be heroes, lady.
You think I wouldn't drink that entire bottle for a few seconds of peace? You're in this. You don't get to drink your way out. What makes you so fucking special?
She glowers at him, then turns away.
I let her go.
Ash paces towards her.
My little girl. They took her away from me, but I let her go.
Ash swallows.
What kind of father does that?
Ash has another gulp of his drink. Telly's expression softens as she regards him. She steps a little closer.
I need you to stay clear.
Ash lowers his gaze, then finishes off his drink and moves back into the kitchenette to pour himself another. He pauses with the neck of the bottle just above the cup. He puts the bottle down, his expression troubled. He throws the cup aside and trudges over to the sink where he empties the rest of the bottle. A concerned Telly makes her way over towards him. Viewed through a window, it's as though she's being watched from outside. She stands behind Ash.
Not doing this for you, you know.
I know.
Never forget her again.
I know you won't.
You know everything, right?
Ash looks round at her, then away again.
I don't know how to get my son back.
With a look of melancholy, Ash turns to face her. He glances down at the floor, then meets her gaze.
I'll figure something out.
Telly blinks back tears, her eyes glistening. Detective Anne Pope sits in her office. She gets to her feet, turning off the desk lamp. As she pulls on her coat, Lieutenant Brasher approaches.
And?
Carl Dayton? He is NSA, but it's tagged. He's got special clearance, some unit within the NSA. These people are down deep.
Doing what?
Well, I'd say God only knows, but I don't think he's in the loop.
Hey, I picked my sister's kid. Get some sleep. Yeah. Night, Cornell. I need you to get that on my desk.
Excuse me, Lieutenant Pope?
No, I'm gone. I'm in my car. I'm almost home.
I'm Dr. Jack Muntz. Telly Peretta's my patient. I'd like to help. Telly's contacted me.
So what can you tell me about Telly that might help me find her?
I used to think that she was purely delusional.
Muntz shakes his head.
I'm not sure anymore.
Hmm. So how is it that she and Mr. Carell are having the same delusion, making up imaginary children from the same plane crash?
I don't know, Carell. You could be saying anything to be with her.
Well, she calls again, you call me.
Lieutenant, I think it's very important that I'm there when you find her. You'll be dealing with a possible psychotic break. You don't want to do more damage.
I'll call you, Dr. Muntz.
No, that's not what I mean.
He looks wearily at her.
It's my fault she's out there.
Why?
She was in my care. She still trusts me, or she wouldn't have called. She'll call again, and when she does, you'll know, because I'll be with you. You're going to need me to find her.
As they watch through glass-pane doors, Telly shifts under the patchwork cover on the bed in the darkened cabin. In the adjoining living room, Ash lies under a blanket on the sofa. His eyes suddenly open and he stiffly lifts his head. He sits up, looks anxiously towards the window, his face partly cast in shadow. Ash gets to his feet and moves towards the fireplace, where a fire burns gently in the hearth. He takes a poker from a rack and pads towards the front door. Outside, he hurries into the trees, his shoulders hunched over, the poker in his hand. Ash slows and straightens, peering through foliage at a man who stands nearby looking through binoculars. The poker raised, Ash sneaks towards the man who looks round just as Ash hits him over the head. It's Batalis, now inside the cabin, tied to a chair, blood staining the left side of his forehead. He glances up at Ash and Telly, who stand over him.
Oh, shit. A. Batalis. What's the A stand for?
Ash holds Batalis' ID up in front of the agent.
What?
Ash backhands Batalis across the face.
You don't have to do that!
What, this?
Stop it!
Telly looks fiercely at Ash.
Al. Al Batalis. Oh, Jesus, you don't want this kind of trouble. So just drop it right now. Right now! Tell him to stop, Miss Peretta. Tell him to stop before this goes any further. Tell him!
We just want our children.
There are no children. Forget the children.
Telly slaps him.
What did you say? Did you say to forget the children? Who are you?
Where are the children?
Who do you work for?
Why were they
What's
taken?
What's going on?
Why were the children taken?
He brings the poker down between Patalis's legs.
I swear to God, if I swing this thing again, I'm going to break your kneecap. I swear it. Where are the children? No, 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 I... It's not me, it's not us. We...
Ash points the poker in Patalis's chest.
We cooperate. Cooperate with who?
Ash moves round him.
With who?
Why do you cooperate with them?
Telly leans down.
Survival.
Who, yours?
Yours too.
Telly and Ash share an uneasy look.
You're right.
Where are they from? Who are they? Why do they want the children?
Tell us the truth.
Ash rams the poker's handle between Patalis's shoulder blades.
The truth. The goddamn truth won't fit in your brain. Won't fit in anybody's brain.
Just tell us how to get the children back.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. All I know is that you were supposed to forget like everybody else did. This was not part of it.
Part of what? Part of what?
Ash whacks Batalis's shin.
Part of this particular experiment. Go on.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
No,
yes,
I won't.
You can.
No,
yes,
no.
Telly moves in front of Ash, who holds the poker above his head. Ash lowers it. Telly leans down close to Batalis.
Do you have children?
Batalis sighs, closing his eyes, then opens them again and nods resignedly.
Please. Please tell me. No one will know that you told us. Just...
She edges closer.
Just tell us how to get the children back. No one will blame you.
She whispers in his ear, a tear escaping. Patalis clenches his jaw.
They're listening.
Telly's eyes widen and she moves her face away from his. Without warning, Patalis and the cabin are sucked violently into the heavens. Debris rains down from above onto the foundations where Ash and Telly lie. Only the door and window frames remain. Telly and Ash stir, looking upwards in shock. Telly gets to her knees and gazes incredulously up at the gloomy sky. Ash staggers to his feet. Above them, wispy clouds pass slowly across the full moon. Ash crouches down beside Telly, putting his hands on her arm and looking into her frightened face.
You okay?
She leans into him and he helps her up.
Why didn't they take us?
I don't know.
A new day. Two local cops lead Anne, Munce, and Brasher onto the site of the decimated cabin.
Our best guess is a gas leak. But nothing's burned. There's no sign of fire. There's no sign of blood.
They approach a window.
Is this?
There's a message on the panes written in toothpaste.
The Ampopa children are alive. We believe they were abducted. We know we couldn't sound crazy if we tried. Please help us.
Anne studies it.
Abducted. It's an interesting word. Most people say kidnap.
Brasher wanders up.
Troopers found this.
Excuse us, Dr. Munce.
He hands Anne Patalis' NSA ID. She and Brasher step aside.
Witnesses say they only saw Peretta and Carell running from the cabin after the explosion. And there's no sign of another body inside.
Where'd this come from?
Patalis' ID. Brasher looks down at the floor.
Crash a house, Cassidy.
She's 7, what?
What if I told you your daughter never existed? That you made her up?
And why would you do that?
Yeah. Why?
Viewed from above, Ash and Telly travel along a deserted road flanked by leafless trees which cast long, spindly shadows across the tarmac. As Ash drives, Telly gazes out of the window. With a pained expression, she closes her eyes. She remembers seeing Sam climb the steps up to the plane. She sees herself smiling beyond the mesh fence. The plane door is closed. Written along its side, Quest.
Quest Air. The name of the airline, a small airline, it was Quest Air. Remember? Quest Air. So we're saying that it never crashed at sea. We're saying that they somehow took the kids and that the plane and the pilot, that all of it is part of them.
Quest Air.
Ash glances at Telly with a quizzical expression, his brow deeply furrowed. A harbor, and beyond it in the distance, the Manhattan skyline shrouded in mist. Ash and Telly walk towards the Quest Air building. Viewed through the mesh fence which encloses the car park, it's as though they're being watched. Ash and Telly enter the deserted building and try a door. It won't open. They move on past boxes and stacked furniture. Telly approaches another door marked Robert Chenier, President. She opens it and goes inside. Ash glances over his shoulder and follows her. Now leading the way, he passes through an open door marked Accounting. Close behind, Telly follows him. Ash looks around him and wanders up to another open door. He heads into an office. A woman sits at a table, which is buried under paperwork. Ash glances back at Telly, who steps confidently forward. The woman looks up.
Oh my God, who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, we didn't think there'd be anyone here. I'm Claire. I'm Mr. Chenier's assistant. And you are?
Eileen, I'm the accountant the court appointed for the bankruptcy.
Oh, of course. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Gee, I was told that Quest Air employees are not allowed to be here.
Oh, that's okay. Mr. Chenier just needs some items from his office.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Nothing is allowed to leave.
Well, they're just personal letters.
Yes, well, if anything turns up, I'd be happy to have them sent down to Mr. Chenier's home. I'm going to have to go by court procedure, of course, first.
That's fine. The West Side address isn't good anymore, though. The co-op.
Uh-huh.
Which one do you have?
Eileen looks around her.
But I have that.
She opens a drawer and takes out a document.
Let's see what I've got here.
She flicks through it.
Okay, Robert Chenier. I've got the one on Long Island. 165 Colony Way.
Eileen looks up at them expectantly. Later, Ash and Telly walk round trees towards a large white and grey slate house by the sea. The dull grey sky and the water almost merge into one. Ash and Telly make their way onto the porch. They peer in through a window. Inside, everything is covered in plastic. Telly follows Ash round to the glass-paned front doors. He tries to open them, but they won't budge. He steps back. Charging the doors open, he and Telly go inside.
There's nobody lives here.
Yeah, it's strange. They didn't move out, they just left.
They move through the house. Night, Ash holds a lantern as he enters the living room. Behind him, Telly also carries a lantern. Ash glances round at her as she heads for the stairs. As though watched through a diamond-paned window, they go their separate ways. Ash walks round a long dining room table and approaches a sideboard on which several framed photos of small planes are displayed. He passes the light of the lantern over each one, lingering on a picture of an open doorway in a Quest Air hangar. Frowning, Ash moves away. Upstairs, he enters a bedroom, the light of the lantern glowing brightly against the white-painted wall. He puts the lantern down and extinguishes the flame. Telly lies in bed on her side, her lantern still lit and sitting on the bedside cabinet behind her. Her eyes are open, her lids heavy. She has her back to Ash, who lies down on the bed next to her and shifts around trying to get comfortable. Telly rubs her face against her pillow, then rolls over to face him.
Go ahead, is she asleep?
How about you?
Finally awake.
He smiles fondly at her. Telly nods. They look into each other's eyes for a few moments, then snuggle closer, their faces only inches apart. Telly shuts her eyes. Ash studies her beautiful face, a hand resting on her side. A new day. Anne is standing by the open door of her car when Dr. Muntz pulls up outside the police station. Anne calls over to him as he gets out.
Hey, get in.
Where are we going?
They've been ID'd. They scammed an account for an address. Long Island.
They both get in her car and Anne reverses out of the parking space. At the Chenier's house in Long Island, the sky is heavy with grey clouds. Leaves are blown onto the porch. Upstairs, Telly lies on her own on the bed. She stares into space. A bright white light flashes. Telly remembers Sam winking and waving to her as he approaches the waiting Questair plane. Standing behind the mesh fence, she watches a man put his hand on Sam's head. It's the friendly stranger from her street in Brooklyn, the man she and Ash knocked down at the rental car place. In her flashback, Telly's smile fades, and she looks directly at the man who walks towards her, his steely eyes fixed on her. In the present, Telly leaps up.
Ash!
Downstairs, Ash picks up the framed photo of the Questair hangar with the open door. In the shadows of the hangar, he sees a face.
Chenier.
Ash!
Chenier's the friendly stranger. Ash charges upstairs.
Telly!
He shows her the picture.
What? It's the guy from the car rental.
I know. We have to get to the airport. The one the kids left from.
They look at each other. A breeze blows through the room. Telly's hair is lifted off her shoulders.
They're in the house with us.
Come on, let's go.
Ash is still pulling on his coat as they run out of the bedroom and down the stairs. He races over to the glass-pane doors and unlocks them. He tugs on them, but they won't open.
It's jammed.
Telly runs back across the room. Ash knocks a pot plant off a small table. He throws the table through a large window, which smashes. Ash kicks away the remaining shards, and he and Telly climb through the window onto the porch. Telly leads the way as they sprint off. They stop on their tracks, seeing Anne's car.
Here. Meet me in my apartment.
What are you doing?
One of us has got to get out of here. Go. Go on. Go!
Having taken his keys, she flees, looking desperately back at Ash as she goes. Ash disappears behind the house as Anne pulls up.
Stay here.
Anne gets out of the car.
Stay inside.
Gun at the ready, she jogs towards the house. Meanwhile, Telly reaches the rental car and gets behind the wheel. Anne is on the porch looking in through the windows. She sees Chenier coming up the steps.
Freeze! Right there! Hands on your head! I want you on your knees! Now! I will shoot! Now!
She fires, hitting his calf. The wound quickly heals.
Halt!
Anne fires at Chenier's shoulder again. The wound immediately heals.
Halt!
Anne trembles. She shoots again, hitting Chenier's back. The large hole soon vanishes, covered over again with skin. Chenier stares back at her as he disappears round the corner. Shaken, she lowers her gun. Ash finds Muntz.
Are you Muntz?
Yes, what happened in there? Where's Telly?
Telly's left. We gotta get out of here.
Well, what about Pope?
Look, you wanna help Telly? Just drive. Drive!
Muntz hesitates.
Come on.
Eyeing Ash unsurely, Muntz gets behind the wheel of Anne's car. The rental car is stuck in the mud. The front left wheel spins uselessly, spattering gunge all over the silver paintwork. Telly gets out. Muntz and Ash pull away. Telly kneels down, lodging a branch behind the stuck wheel.
Telly! Telly, wait! Telly, I'm Anne! Anne Pope! No, wait, please, listen! I know! I believe you, Telly. I believe you about everything. I've seen it. It's not human. Jesus Christ.
And the children?
Yes, everything. We'll find them. I promise you that. Do you hear me? We will find them. We will find your son.
Stepping ever closer to Telly, Anne is suddenly sucked up into the sky. Telly stares open-mouthed, frozen to the spot as the detective vanishes into the clouds. Muntz and Ash screech up outside Ash's apartment building. Viewed from above, Ash is a small, fast-moving figure as he hurries inside.
Telly?
He looks around the empty apartment, then races towards the bedroom. From outside, the several-storied oblong building is bathed in bright sunshine. Telly arrives, bursting into the seemingly empty apartment.
Ash!
She looks around.
Ash!
He appears from the bedroom and they fall into each other's arms and hug.
They took Anne Pope right in front of me.
Their foreheads touch.
Muntz is downstairs. He'll take us to that airport.
Beautiful view.
Chenier stands by a window. He turns.
What have you done with our kids?
Ash charges at Chenier, pushing him backwards. Chenier quickly whips Ash round, his hand gripping at Ash's chest. Telly runs towards them.
Ash!
Oh! No, Telly! Stay back! No!
Ash pushes backwards. He and Shania crash through the window. They plummet earthwards. Ash is suddenly pulled skywards, sucked into the heavens. Shania stumbles on down towards the sidewalk. Aghast, Telly moves away from the window. Moments later, she charges out into the street. On the ground, splintered wood and shards of glass.
Telly.
Munce approaches.
Come with me.
Distraught, Telly looks around her as Munce leads her to the car. As he drives, Munce taps the steering wheel anxiously with his thumb, glancing over at Telly, who sits staring ahead in shocked silence.
We have to go to the police.
No, we have to go to the airport.
Please, Telly, we need help.
Munce comes to a stop at traffic lights. Telly leans across, puts the car in neutral, and takes the keys from the ignition.
Get out.
She looks unwaveringly at him. He meets her gaze, glances away, then looks back at her.
No, I'll take you.
She looks lingeringly at him. The traffic lights go green and Munce pulls away, a cloud of white swirling out of the exhaust. Later, they drive across the tarmac of a deserted airport, a vast hangar to their left. Munce parks by a section of wall next to the hangar doors. He and Telly climb out. From a distance, the Questair logo looms large on the wall above the car. A lone plane soars through the sky above them. Munce and Telly walk towards the hangar and go through the nearest door. They enter the vast, shadowy building dwarfed by its high ceiling and the wall of grimy windows which stretch up to it. Munce closes the door behind them. He and Telly pad warily across the empty hangar. A silhouette appears between the partly open sliding doors which lead to the rest of the hangar. Telly and Munce look round as Shanir emerges from the shadows.
He's one of them. You have my son. Where is he?
Munce grabs Telly's arm as she rushes towards Shanir, who stands impassively staring at them. Munce steps up to him.
You know this is getting out of control. It's finished now. End it. Make it right.
Telly looks down, her face crumpling.
Where is my son?
Shanir's emotionless eyes flit over her, then he and Munce share a look.
It's not over.
Shanir looks pointedly at Munce, then turns on his heel and walks away towards the adjoining hangar. A shell-shocked Telly stares at the ground, her beautiful face ashen. She looks up at Munce, her eyes glinting.
You're one of those agents.
Munce meets her gaze.
No, I'm just... one of the few who knows.
So you helped them?
They don't need our help. They run their experiments with or without our help. They've been doing it for years, maybe forever.
You just let them do whatever they want?
Let them? I don't have a choice. We just try to minimize the damage.
I just want my son.
Telly hurriedly wipes away a tear.
Telly, you'll never get Sam back. You've held on, and they don't know why. You're just a lab rat to them.
I don't believe that. He said it's not over. I can still get it back. You know them. Help me.
She stares into his eyes.
If you go any further, I can't help you. I'm sorry.
Telly smiles bitterly at him, then hangs her head. Without looking at Munce again, she brushes past him, going into the depths of the gloomy hangar. Munce stares after her. In the darkness of the cavernous hangar, Telly is a diminutive figure. Tall concrete pillars cast long dark shadows across the concrete floor. Telly veers off to her left, finding Shanir lurking.
Is my son in here?
You never doubted. Not for a second, did you?
He's here.
He's now just a memory, Telly.
Telly glances away and her eyelids close flutteringly. In a flashback, she sees Sam as a toddler riding on a roundabout waving. She sees him older on a beach flying a kite, and younger again as he pulls a face in the bath. Telly smiles fondly, her eyes open as more memories flash through her mind. She smiles tearfully, seeing Sam in a playground toppling over. Telly closes her eyes again. Sam lies on a bed. He blows a kiss from his little finger.
Can you picture him here?
Telly opens her eyes.
No.
Shanir stares piercingly at her, then moves to one side. Beyond him, Telly sees Sam walking away. A broad smile spreads across her face. She breaks into a run. Sam starts to flee, sprinting away.
Sam! Honey! Wait!
He races away from her without looking back. Telly powers after him, following him into a corridor with large grime-covered windows and a crisscross of rafters above. The boy runs on.
Sam!
He veers left at an intersection in the maze-like corridors.
Sam!
Telly charges relentlessly on after Sam down the seemingly endless labyrinth of corridors. She rounds a corner, finding him gone and Shanir looming.
What have you done with him? Why did you take him? What do you want?
It's an experiment.
He's just a little boy. What could you possibly learn from him?
Nothing.
This wasn't about Sam. This wasn't about the children.
It was never about the children.
We were the experiment.
Your connection. Mother to child. Like an invisible tissue. We can even measure its energy. But we don't fully understand it. So I pose the question, can it be dissolved? And it can. Except for you.
Give me back my son. And I'll do whatever you want.
What I want, Telly, is for you to forget your son. To forget Sam.
No.
If you don't, this experiment will fail. I'm accountable. I can't let that happen. And time is running out.
I won't help you.
There are worse things than forgetting.
No, there aren't.
You need to
forget!
Shanir's face distorts, his eyes becoming blacked out hollows, his chin elongated as his mouth opens wide. The windows in the corridor implode, the glass raining down like a shower of diamonds. Telly is thrown backwards, landing on the ground. She scrambles away as Shanir steps ominously towards her. Her face etched with panic, she gets to her feet and sprints away. Telly careers into the main part of the hangar. She slows, glancing back the way she came. She looks around her, swathes of the vast building shrouded in darkness. She starts to edge backwards. Shanir emerges and grabs her around the neck. He lifts her single-handedly off the ground. She gasps for breath, her feet wriggling helplessly in midair. Studying her intently, Shanir lowers her back towards the ground.
You're different from the others. Why?
He still grips her neck.
Shh. It's better this way. You won't be haunted by his memory. You can have a life again. Now, I want you to go back to that first day in the hospital, to the first time you ever saw Sam.
A hazy image flashes through her mind's eye. Her eyelids twitch, Shanir stares unblinkingly at her.
I need that first memory.
Telly's eyes flicker, she sees the blurred image of a doctor in the delivery room.
Give me that first memory.
Telly's reddening eyes bulge. In the flashback, a newborn Sam is held up to her. The image is sucked away, leaving a black void. Shanir releases Telly and she drops heavily to the ground. He stares down at her, his face emotionless.
That boy. What was his name?
Telly lies defeated on the ground.
What boy?
Her eyes stare ahead, lifeless. Shanir stares down at her, steely-eyed, then turns and walks slowly away. Behind him, a dazed Telly sits up, a trance-like expression on her face. She stares intently into space. Shanir, his back still to her, pauses in a shaft of deep black shadow. Telly's eyes are still fixed resolutely ahead. A flash of white light, Telly sees herself sitting serenely on a bench in a park, gently stroking her pregnant tummy.
Life inside of me.
Shanir turns round to face her, Telly's eyes light up.
I had life.
She gets tentatively to her feet.
I have a child.
Shanir stands stony-faced.
I have a son.
Telly steps towards him.
I have a son. His name is Sam, you son of a bitch.
Tears glisten in her eyes as she bravely meets Shanir's gaze. Telly's eyes start to dart around nervously.
I need more time.
Shanir is suddenly dragged up through the roof of the hangar and sucked into the sky. He vanishes into the heavens. Bits of debris flutter back down through the gaping hole in the roof. Telly gazes upwards, her expression brightening. Back in Brooklyn, a vulnerable-looking Telly walks down the middle of her street. She breaks into a jog as she nears her house. She runs towards the front gate.
Sam!
She hurries up the front steps and into the house.
Sam!
Tears staining her tired eyes, she looks desperately around her. The playground in the park is full of children. Telly runs towards it, weaving between people on the path, looking around her frantically.
Sam! Sam!
She runs over to two boys.
Sam Peretta, do you know me?
The head shake.
Sam!
Telly scans the bustling playground.
Sam! 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 Sam!
Hey, Mom!
Sam jumps down from a climbing frame.
It's not time to go in, is it?
Open-mouthed, Telly steps towards Sam, her face alive with joy. She looks down in wonder at her blonde-haired son, tears welling in her eyes. She lovingly caresses his cheeks, and Sam gazes up at her, his young eyes bright. Telly bends and scoops Sam off his feet, hugging him tightly and planting tender kisses all over his face.
Mom, I can't breathe.
She kisses him once more, then releases him.
I'm sorry. Oh. I'm just dumb. I just wanted you to button up.
Can I play till 5:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 5:30's okay.
Okay, thanks. See ya.
He ambles away.
See ya.
Telly gazes after him as he frolics back onto the climbing frame. Lauren appears and gives Telly a wave.
Hi, Lauren.
Tears of joy escape down Telly's cheeks, and beaming, she stares over at the oblivious Sam as he plays with his friends. Turning away, she glances back one more time before approaching the swings where Ash sits watching his daughter. Seeing him, Telly stops, her expression suddenly serious. She steps forward, a smile edging its way across her lips. Ash looks up and smiles.
Hi.
Hi.
She stares intently at him. He looks back past her at Lauren. Telly shifts, looking a little awkward.
I guess they don't seem to want parents around.
No.
Ash grins. Telly looks round. On top of the climbing frame, Sam gives her a wave.
You keep watching him.
It's hard not to.
Ah, they're okay.
Telly looks back round at Ash, smiling, her eyes glistening.
I know.
They share a protracted look. Telly steps closer.
I'm Telly. Sam's mom.
I'm Ash. I think we met before.
They shake hands, their grasp lingering as they look into each other's eyes. Telly steps away and sits on the swing next to Ash's. He looks round at her as she sways gently back and forth, and the children play on happily in the playground, which is carpeted with fallen leaves, their autumnal colours imbuing the scene with a warm amber hue. The screen fades to black. ITFC audio description by Amy DeLarabiti. Cast: Telly Julianne Moore, Sam Christopher Kowaleski, Sam at 5, Matthew Pleshevitz. Jim Anthony Edwards, Elliot Jessica Hecht, A Friendly Man Linus Roach. Dr. Jack Muntz, Gary Sinise. Ash Dominic West. Library Clerk, Katie Cooper. Cops, Scott Nicholson, PJ Morrison. Carl Dayton, Robert Wisdom. Agent Alec Wong, Tim Kang. Lauren, Catherine Fornan. Anne Pope, Alfra Woodard. Brasher, Felix Solis. Agent Lisa Franks, Susan Meisner. Al Patalis, Lee Turgeson. Gas Station Attendant, Ken Abraham. Sheriff Howell, J. Tucker Smith. Eileen the Accountant, Anne Dowd. Stunt Coordinator, Terry J. Leonard. Stunts: Danny Aiello III, Bill Anagnos, Paul Bucosi, Chris Senatiempo, John Senatiempo, Victor Chan, Al Cerullo, John Copeman, Andrew Dupin, Peter Epstein, Frank Ferrara, Frank Ferrara Jr., Ralph Ferrara, Andy Gill, Tony Guida, Cinder James, Gino Lucci, Tina McKissick, Angela Merrill, Janet Paparazzo, Jodie Michelle Pinn, Pat Romano, David Shumbris, Douglas Snively, Aaron Walters, Kim Washington, Chuck Zito. Unit Production Manager Joseph E. Iberti. First Assistant Director Michael Steele. Second Assistant Director Taka Hyde Kawakami. Visual Effects Supervisor Kerry Vilgas. Re-recording mixers Michael Minkler, Myron Nettinger. Art Director Paul D. Kelly. Set Decorator Susan Tyson. Property Master David Gulick. Script Supervisor Corey B. Ugler. Soundtrack on Vares Saraband. Copyright 2004 Revolution Studios Distribution Company, LLC, all rights reserved. Revolution Studios Distribution Company, LLC, is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. All trademarks and copyrights of the National Hockey League and its member teams are used with permission, all rights reserved. The Major League Baseball trademarks depicted in this motion picture were licensed by Major League Baseball Properties, Inc. Special thanks to the New York City Mayor's Office of Film, Theatre and Broadcasting, the New York State Governor's Office of Motion Picture and Television Development, New York City Police Department Movie TV Unit. The people of Brooklyn, New York, Prospect Park Alliance, the New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission. The Bayonne Local Redevelopment Authority, the City of Bayonne, New Jersey, the Town of Hampton Bays, New York. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. AHA 00610. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Released by Columbia Pictures, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.